Welcome to episode 41 of Autograph Weekly, Up Crap Creek.
You're now tuned into the most entertaining, informative, and downright kick-ass autograph show that has ever existed. Here's Zane Savage and Double S with Autograph Weekly.
Welcome, Autograph Addicts. I'm Zane Savage.
I'm Stacia Schaefer.
I'm Jeremy Daniels.
I'm Ben Martinez.
I'm Sydney Walton.
And you're listening to Autograph Weekly, feeding your brain with knowledge and news every week until the NHL can go 10 years without a lockout. Guys, AW Extra appears before this show at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on our YouTube channel. It's a chance for us to talk about what we got in this week and interact with you guys, the fans. It's a Google Hangout that's open to you guys, so go check that out. Again, that's youtube.com/autographweekly. To the news, Stacy.
All right, my first news story is coming from NBCSports.com, and this is about a autograph that a 15-year-old got in the mail. This is Nick Stigsell. Actually got back an Aaron Rodgers TTM that he had totally forgotten about. He actually would have sent this off when he was 10. Got it back this week. It was an Aaron Rodgers rookie card. He was just pretty much in disbelief because he totally even forgot that he sent this card off. So kind of the moral to this is just never give up on TTMs.
Okay, you know, I've actually seen a story that was better than that, and I think it was 30 years it took for a TTM to get back. Somebody sent it off when they were a kid, and it got sent to his house that he lived in as a kid. And the people that lived there went ahead and found this guy and gave him the letter because he still lived in the same town. And I forget who it was. It was a baseball player. And he got it 30 years later. And they don't know why. What happened to that letter to make it automatically appear and get signed? And you got to think, the person that signed it, they got to be thinking, okay, I got this fan letter 30 years ago. This person's probably not going to live at this address anymore, odds are. So, yeah, that's always a really good story to hear because it gives you hope for your TTMs, you know. Whenever you send out a big batch and only get a few back, you're like, well, one day they could trickle in.
There's still a chance. I don't know who holds mail for 30 years anyways.
That's crazy.
To quote, I think it's Dumb and Dumber, so you're saying there's a chance.
So, for that, the next time you send me a TTM, Zane, I'm waiting 31 years.
Bring it on. Oh, no, I don't have my Stacia Schaefer autograph in yet. What am I going to do? I only have 20 of them. I need 25.
So you need 21.
All right, Ben.
All right, so my story is about Joe Nathan and some of the Rangers. Joe Nathan, who's obviously the closer of the Rangers, he basically signed autographs as Tony Romo. So the story behind it is that Mike Adams, his setup man, he's a diehard Cowboys fan, and he won a bet with Nathan, who's a Giants fan. So basically, Nathan did well on his bet, and he dressed up as Tony Romo with full shoulder pads and everything, and during batting practice, he signed autographs for 5 minutes as Tony Romo.
For sure.
So it was pretty funny looking. There's video on it, too, on the news article as well.
Yeah,
he'd probably play much better than Romo right now anyways.
Yeah, these stories, I have positive feelings and negative feelings about. Positive, it's funny, obviously, but negative, they're giving out fake autographs. They shouldn't be supporting that. We did a story about 2 months ago about a college. It was a fraternity, and they had a guy dress up, I think, Mark Sanchez, and sign autographs in the foyer. And I was like, yeah, okay, it's funny, whatever, but they're still signing fake autographs. I'm never for that, so it kind of makes me angry.
It's like,
especially these guys are the same guys that complain about people faking their autograph, and they're like, oh, let's go fake somebody else's autograph.
And some people will probably believe them, like the casual, like really not knowing sports fan. They're like,
absolutely.
Oh, hey, that's Tony Romo.
Absolutely, and I talked about that too the other, I think it was 2 weeks ago. I did a project for sociology where I dressed up as a guy named Wild Zane Savage, and I signed autographs in the mall as a country singer. And people came up to me and told me they liked my album. I was like,
"Thank
you."
And they only knew you were a rapper.
They didn't know I was a rapper. No, but people, they see a celebrity. If somebody tells them that the person's a celebrity, they automatically go into "I'm a big fan" mode, even though, you know, they don't know who the person is. So Yeah, it just angers me every time somebody does a fake signing and we get stories like this. Because those are the same guys that say, oh, fakes are running rampant. That's not my autograph. No. Well, don't do fake autograph signings.
And shouldn't the Rangers be worried about playing baseball? Aren't they like only two games up on the A's now?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Hey, where's your Padres at?
Yeah. Hey, we're almost getting to we're winning today now.
Shut up about baseball. This is about autographs, Jeremy.
All right, my news article is something that we've talked about numerous times on the podcast, but this one is dealing with Neil Armstrong and his death and autographs. And we all know when someone dies, a celebrity, the market for getting that person's autograph, especially on eBay or no matter where, skyrockets. Well, this one is about Neil Armstrong. And since his death on October 25th, the demand for anything signed by the first man to walk on the moon has surged, with asking prices climbing as much as 100% to $10,000 for an autographed photo, which for Neil Armstrong, since he rarely signed, I mean, you know, people are going to pay that, like, since he passed away, with anyone. But this article is pretty interesting. It goes on to say River Phoenix, who passed away, who died slowly in 1993, people were speculating he would become as popular and profitable in death as James Dean. Well, unfortunately, River Phoenix's autograph now only sells for about $20 on eBay, where James Dean's sells for an average of about $22,000. But this article basically goes on to say don't get into the hype of buying autographs when a celebrity passes away, because you're probably going to be wasting your money, because in a couple months, like Whitney Houston, as it states here, it dropped down back to regular value after the death. So.
Right. Yeah, you know, that also goes on people selling. A lot of people sell autographs when somebody passes away, and it's kind of a double-edged sword. And it really doesn't matter. Phyllis Diller is a good example. Her autograph went up very minute amount on eBay whenever she passed away, because she's such a great signer. She was such a great signer that there's so many out there. Pretty much everybody has her autograph that wanted it, and there's not too much demand for it. So that's demand, and how many autographs are out there is still one of the major parts of how much an autograph goes for. So.
Well, the ones that I think really that go up in price that stay high are, like this article says, are the ones are the people that actually rarely signed when they were alive.
Right.
So Neil Armstrong rarely signed, and his were, you know, what, $700-$800 maybe anyways.
Michael Jackson's are pretty high. Authentic ones. There's a lot of fakes. There's a lot of fakes for all these people. But
yeah. So, I mean, your people that rarely sign now after they pass away, the value's going to stay high.
Right.
Where the people that sign a lot now, probably the first couple days after they pass away, they'll sell for a lot, but then it's just going to drop back down again. So the best thing is wait, you know, at least a week or so after they pass away, and you should get the autograph for back to, you know, whatever the price is normal.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's common sense. Never buy an autograph right after a person passed away. Mm-hmm. A lot of people that are kind of amateurs go do that, and they pay more for it. So my news story is about U2. U2 fans warned off autograph faker. An eBay trader is making a mint by passing off faked Bono autographs, the Irish Sun can reveal. And a lot of people do this. They'll master one autograph, and they'll sell on eBay only that one autograph. So if you go look at, like, previous items, it's all the same person. It's like, okay, something's fishy here, you know? Alarm bells about the London scammer's signings first rang after a YouTube fan began probing his wares. Sharp-eyed Gary Paul spotted a suspect signature of motorbike legend Carl Fogarty on the site of Warriors Square 2011. But when he contacted the world champ to see if it was genuine, Fogarty tweeted back, "Definitely a fake." And I did this article because it brings up another thing I want to talk about, which is celebrities actually working with eBay nowadays to determine if autographs are real. So what they'll do is they'll set up a certain time for a celebrity to go online on eBay, and they'll surf through all the autographs on eBay, and they'll tell them which autographs are real and legit and which ones aren't. And to me, that's the best source to go to, because they're going to know if they signed it or not. It's going to be a lot better than a PSA guy checking it out, since that is their signature. They'll know. They may even recognize the item. Probably not, especially for the bigger guys who signed, you know, thousands and thousands of items. But this is a new thing, and I think it's good. You know, get rid of the fakes on eBay. That's always a good thing. What do you guys think?
Yeah, you see a lot of that, like, with Twitter now, too, where people all scan their show, the photos in a tweet to the celebrity and ask them. So social media kind of helps with that area, too. It's kind of a new thing. And
yeah, you know, I mean, that would be a very cool thing for celebrities to start doing. Maybe have a part of their personal website where they say, guys, submit me pictures of autographs, and I'll tell you if they're real or not. Like, that would be a really cool thing if that caught on. You said the tweet thing obviously works. But if they actually made an effort, like 30 minutes out of every week, to sit down and go through autographs that were sent in by fans, say, okay, this is legit, this is not. Granted, a lot of celebrities don't take autographs very seriously at all, so this is probably not going to happen. But if it did, I think it'd greatly help a lot of us that wonder, you know, are these real? The people who are probably secretarial, it's not going to matter at all, because they're going to say, oh yeah, those are real. Signed by my secretary, like Travolta and people like that. They're not going to say, oh yeah, my secretary signed that. So when it comes to those, you're still kind of up crap creek. But yeah, I really look forward to see what social media and the internet can do for authenticating items. And eBay is going one step further that I think is really helping. Well, not really helping yet, but has the possibility to really help the forgeries disappear off the market. It'll never happen, but it's helping. You know, that's the main thing. Sid?
Okay. My news story is on ESPNW blog. It's actually a post from WNBA player Sue Bird. She relates an experience that she had with a fan. Recently, she was out to dinner in Seattle with a few of her friends when a man's girlfriend approached her table. She went up to Diana Taurasi, who's another WNBA player, and gushed about how much her boyfriend loved her and how he had a weird request for her. He wanted her to sign his forehead. Believe it or not, this isn't the weirdest request that Sue Bird's ever heard, so Diana happily obliged, and the boyfriend headed to our table, Sharpie in hand. As he got closer, he had a look of worry on his face, but no one thought twice about it as Diana put her John Hancock on his head. Just as she was dotting her I's, though, the girlfriend yelled out, "Oh, thank you, Sue. You are his favorite." What was that? Did she say Sue? I'm sure you can all guess what happened after that. The girlfriend mixed the two of us up, and the boyfriend, seeing what had happened, didn't have the heart to stop it. So after Diana was finished, he asked me for my autograph, too. He left covered in black marker, but he was also wearing a big smile.
That's great. I've always wondered if anybody would have the cojones to get an autograph signed on their head and then get a tattoo of it. I doubt that'll ever happen, but, you know, we always talk about the people that get tattoos of autographs on their body after they get something signed. So that's an interesting story. I like that one.
That guy must have been drunk or something. I mean, why would you get your forehead autographed?
I don't know.
Why would you get any body part autographed?
I mean, I could see like an arm, you know. I mean, you must not be an autograph collector. I mean, just because, you know, you want the autograph.
Right.
Once you take a shower, it's going to come off.
Right.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. I just don't get the meaning of that. Yeah.
Or maybe they want to take a picture of it and just show their friends, too, like on like Facebook or something.
That's true.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people don't think
you can't grab a napkin or anything. Say, here, can you sign this napkin?
I mean, exactly.
Who else has a Sue Bird autograph on their forehead?
Well, you know, we interview a lot of celebrities, and a lot of them say that's the weirdest thing they've signed, is a body part. So obviously it's pretty common if pretty much everybody we interview says that is the weirdest thing they've signed. So it's not like it's one of those random things. It's something that a lot of people do. I know a lot of people do it at concerts for musicians. That happens a lot.
Yeah, so. I just think it's awesome when celebrities or athletes share these stories like this, whether it's in their blog or during interviews. It's always kind of interesting to hear this stuff.
Yep, definitely. Let's move on to Web Deal of the Week. Stacy, what you got?
All right, this web deal is at Walmart.com, and this is for a Katy Perry Part of Me Blu-ray, which is actually a signed. Is it an insert that comes with that?
I believe it's an insert that comes with the Blu-ray.
All right, and they're selling it for $19.96, and you can get there by going to bit.ly/KatyPerryAutograph, and we'll try to post. We want to post that on Facebook or
something.
We'll
post it on our Twitter page and Facebook. Yeah, so you guys can check it out. But again, that link is bit.ly/Katy Perry autograph, all one word. We created that for you guys to get there easier, since the actual URL is about a mile long. So we're going to start using bit.ly links to get you guys there quicker. Makes it easier for you to get there via the podcast. So let's go ahead and move on to the AW Hot List. And this week we have three decent ones. Amanda Seyfried, she's signing again. She stopped signing for a good few months. She's always been a good TTM signer, but people are starting to get her back in again. Wilford Brimley has signed again. He's always been pretty quick, but the last time around he took several months. So get him while you can. Don't know why he slowed down. Maybe he was just waiting for his mail to pile up to sign all at once. Who knows? But he did send a bunch of stuff out this week. And a big one, Brian Cranston. Of course, Walter White from Breaking Bad signed some stuff for actually Bloodspawn, who is a member of Autograph Weekly. And that's a big one. A lot of people really want Cranston. He signed, I think, via his agency. And he's kind of hit or miss, and it takes a long time. I forget how long it took.
His stuff's always right around probably 9 to 12 months.
Yeah, almost
he's
a year.
He's a pretty decent signer, but like Zane said, it takes the time.
Definitely. So, guys, that's the list. Number three, Amanda Seyfried. Number two, Wilford Brimley. And number one, Brian Cranston. This episode of Autograph Weekly is brought to you by Rackers.com. That's RACKRS.com. Rackers produces custom trading cards for baseball, basketball, football, hockey, wrestling, and even movie cards. These sleek, matte-finished trading cards have been created for the autograph collector. Whether you write TTM or graph IP, Rackers are a great upgrade from those boring index cards. For IPers, be prepared for any celebrity you may run into. Purchase a pack of Rackers cards and use the promo code AUTOGRAPHWEEKLY, that's one word, AUTOGRAPHWEEKLY, to receive a free sample pack with purchase. That's Rackers.com, RACKRS.com. All right, on to the Fantasy League, which is over, but we do have some business to discuss, and that is the humiliation that me and Bloodspawn Dave have to suffer through because we lost. And we came up with four different things for you guys to vote on our website. Four humiliations, if you will. So all you have to do is go to autographweekly.com to vote on these. And here they are. Number one, make a Gangnam Style music video. So that would be, obviously, the song Gangnam Style and us doing the Gangnam Style dance. Number two, do the Cinnamon Challenge. If you don't know what that is, look it up on YouTube. Number three, make a Call Me Maybe karaoke video. So we'd actually sing the song Call Me Maybe. And number four, do a drunk hangout. What this would involve is me and Bloodspawn getting drunk and going on Google Hangout, and you guys can ask us anything and basically hang out while we're wasted. So those are the four choices, guys. All you have to do is go to autographweekly.com to vote which humiliation you want. I think we can all agree in this, we all win, except for me and Bloodspawn. So
I think you'll be drunk doing any of these anyway, so...
Well, you're probably right there. It's probably going to take that. So, again, that's autographweekly.com, and go vote for the humiliation. We do have an update on the prizes. We are actually working on getting t-shirts made right now, looking for a company to create those. I think we got the design down already, what we're going to do. So if you were on the winning team of the Fantasy League, we still got some details to iron out, but we are going forward in that. We don't have a date yet, which we're going to get your stuff out for, but it is going, so it's not a stagnant process. So we did want to mention that we're working on the t-shirts right now. All right, moving on to TTM and Graph of the Week. TTM of the Week, last week we had Adam Ultimus. Got a Steven Root signed swing line stapler. Have you seen my stapler? Yeah, Milton from Office Space signed stapler TTM. And he was going up against Eric Larson, who got a Willie Nelson TTM. And the winner was Eric Larson with the Willie Nelson TTM. Very close, 51%, 49%. So congratulations, Eric. This week we have Chris Vinoy with a Danny Glover TTM, which is kind of rare. And he's going up against Top Shelf TTMs with a Vin Scully TTM. And here's the weird thing. He got Vince Scully TTM, and he also got an extra $10 bill that he did not send. So he basically got paid to get a TTM. That video of him actually unpackaging it will be up on our website under the poll if you want to watch it. So that's the battle for this week in TTM of the Week. And the keyword is old. The keyword is old. Stacy, what's up for Graph of the Week?
All right, we'll start with last week's battle. It was Russell Lee with a Molly Ringwald in person going against Curtis Howson and a $5 Wilt Chamberlain signed book. And in what most people see as a pretty big upset, Russell Lee takes down Wilt Chamberlain 57% to 43%.
Yeah, that was pretty shocking. I didn't think that would happen, but it did. it's pretty hard to beat Wilt Chamberlain, a book you find at a Goodwill for $5 signed, but Russell pulled it off. So
but getting to meet Molly Ringwald's pretty nice, too.
Yeah, the story behind that was pretty good, so, I mean, I'm still pretty shocked. All right.
This week's battle is Alex Joritz with a Martin Landau IP going against Neri Lamas, who got a Sleepwalkers DVD in person signed. It's got John Landis, Joe Dante, and a bunch of other people on it. So,
and Alex Joritz got Martin Landau, right?
Yep.
And the Landau actually has the inscription of, he put Bela Lugosi as an inscription on the photo, which is really cool.
Zane is super jealous.
I am very super jealous of that. I'm a huge Ed Wood fan. So, guys, again, just go vote on our website, autographweekly.com. The polls are on the right, Graph and TTM of the Week. Also, keep those submissions coming in. You guys have been doing a great job of submitting Graph and TTM of the Week. You know there's a big old prize at the end, guys. If you win Graph of the Week or TTM of the Week, and if you win Graph of the Month, you go on to Graph of the Year, for which there's going to be a humongous prize. And that's kind of your motivation to give us those posts whenever you get something really good in. Also, guys, I want to mention, whenever you do send us a purchase that you got, you need to tell us how much you spent for that purchase, because the whole Graph of the Week is based on how good of a deal you got, and we can't really judge that without the price. So please tell us how much you paid for the purchase items. Graph of the Month, we had that last week, and what were the results of that, Stacey?
All right, just a reminder of what was up and what was nominated. We had TTM Central with a John Berthnall TTM. Kyle Val had a Vince McMahon in person. Michael McHoltz with an Adam West TTM. Kelvin ML with a George Carlin signed book for 50 cents. Eric Larson had a Rod Stewart TTM. Neri Lamas had a David Duchovny in person. Ronnie Vernelin with a Michael Douglas TTM. And Top Shelf TTMs with a Cal Ripken game used signed ball he got for $1. And the winner for August is Top Shelf TTMs with the Cal Ripken game used signed ball. That got 41% of the vote. And then we had a tie for second place between Kelvin ML's George Carlin book and Michael Maycolt's Adam West TTM. Both got 18%. So congrats to Top Shelf. He goes into the battle at the end of the year.
Yes, you are entered into a Graph of the Year, which will be a big battle at the end of the year. And that'll be a fun one, guys. Now, we're going to move on to a segment we like to call Pick and Pays Off with Sid. So if you want to take it away, Sid.
Thanks, Zane. Just real quick, before I get into the picking, I just want to talk about a couple things I got in TTM this week. I don't normally do that because, well, I don't normally get much in. But Zane's going to let me talk about this real quick. I did get Nancy Lieberman in through an email request. It only took like 2-3 days from the day I emailed her to get it in. She sent me a nice signed replica ticket, which is kind of cool. I got Casey Kasem in. He sent a signed color 8x10, and all I sent him was a letter of request. He pre-signs these TTMs, and he sends them out if you just ask him. So that's really cool. But the big one I got, I sent Kurt Russell 2 4x6 photos and got him back yesterday. Still doing research on these to make absolutely sure that they're authentic. I'm leaning towards that they are, but I'm still doing my research on that, so I'll let you guys know.
Yeah, and his signature's changed quite a bit through the years. I did see a certified card that looked pretty similar to what you got back, so I'm leaning with you on authentic. And if that's the case, I got a picture of him and John Carpenter together, already signed by John Carpenter, that I need to send off soon.
Absolutely, absolutely. Kurt was in my second favorite movie of all time, which is Escape from New York. The signature, like you said, it matches up pretty well with his certified signed cards. The photos that I've seen are different, but the signed cards are just about dead on. So I don't know. Still doing the research. But we'll talk about what I got in. I was out picking this week. Actually, these were both gotten yesterday. I went to an antique store and poking around in there. I don't normally find much in antique malls, but I did come across this book. This book is actually my first association copy, and I'll explain what that means here in a minute. But the book is Vagabond's House by Hawaii's poet laureate Don Blanding. He was actually born in Oklahoma and moved to Hawaii. I've written numerous books on poetry. He died in 1957. He actually signed the book Aloha, Don Blanding. And what I mean by association copy is the book was actually owned by somebody else that was pretty famous. And that person is Edna Worthley Underwood. And Edna was herself a prolific poet and author who lived in Wichita, Kansas. She entered a sanitarium in 1953, and that's where she ended up dying in 1961. But she actually owned the book. She signed it twice, once on the inside front cover and again on the back front or the back cover, dated it April 1933. So very, very cool. And actually going through books there at that antique mall, there was actually other books that had her signature on them. So I'll probably go back later and pick those up. This book I actually paid $5 for, and it's duly signed, like I said, by Don Blanding and Edna Underwood, so that's pretty cool.
Cool.
And the other book I got at our library book sale, and I will discuss finding books there, guys. I really didn't go over that when I was talking about finding signed books, so I'll go over those. But this book is Mr. Mysterious and Company by noted children's author Sid Fleischman. Opened it up to the title page, and it's signed in there in red Sharpie for Jeff with my best wishes, Sid Fleischman. And he actually drew a little doodle concerning one of the characters in the book. Sid Fleischman, as I said, a noted children's author, also a magician. Used the magic as a backdrop for a lot of his books. And he adapted a lot of his books to the silver screen, such as Blood Alley and The Whipping Boy. And he's most known for as the writer of the McBroom series of children's books. And he died in 2010 at the age of 90. But anyway, finding books at library book sales, don't discount those. Make sure you go and check those out. A lot of libraries will run them continuously, and you do find signed books at those. But the best ones are ones that are just set up annually or semi-annually. A lot of people that live there in town will donate books, either forgetting that they're signed or just not caring, you know, as well as obviously the library's books that they don't want anymore that are discarded. So make sure you check those out because you will find signed books there, as I can attest to.
I do want to add something here. I don't think we've talked about this. And whenever you go picking, you're not only looking for autograph books, but whenever you're an autograph collector and TTM collector and picker, what you can do is look for books by people that you know signed TTM. So let's say you find an Elmore Leonard signed, or just an Elmore Leonard book at a Goodwill or a library sale. You can buy that and send Elmore Leonard a book plate or even send him the book to get it signed. So don't just look for signed books. Keep your eye open for people that you know signed TTM, because you can either do a book plate or send the book off, and you can still end up with a signed book. So just don't Absolutely. Have that narrow mind whenever you're out picking. So go on.
How long do you take, Sid? Like, is it a couple hours you do? Like,
when you however go long it takes to go through everything.
Yeah.
Yep, I'll spend hours there. I was probably 2 or 3 hours at the library book sale.
Nice.
So however long it takes. But yeah, this particular book sale, it was $2 to fill a bag. So I filled up a bag of 20 assorted other books. And like I said, the Sid Fleischman book was in there. So breaking it down, I probably paid 10 cents for this book.
Nice.
So that's just amazing. But like I said, even if you see books that are library fiction books, make sure, especially if they're older, pick them up and look through them, because a lot of people donate to the library itself, and the library will put it in their catalog and put it out on the shelf for you to borrow. I've found a few that way. Noted author Harold Keith and famous public speaker Norman Vincent Peale. Those actually had library, you know, markings all over them. They had the card pockets still in them, but they were signed. So just, you know, again, talking about time, you got to have the time to look through the books, and, you know, you'll be successful.
I was a fun little story here. I came across, I was looking for some books to buy, and somebody was selling a celebrity's collection, a library of books that he had got over the years. And what this celebrity did, I think he was a comedian, what he did was he had signed books from authors dedicated to him, which is pretty cool. But if it was not signed, he would sign as that celebrity to himself, just as a joke. They don't know if he did it as a joke or to show off to other people. But this guy was an actual celebrity that signed from other celebrities to himself to put that book in his library. So there's all different kinds of weird things you can run into when it comes to library books and personal library books and people that have personal libraries. There's some crazy stuff you can run into, and I think it's interesting. I love it. So if you guys haven't checked out books and signed books and got into that, you may, you know, tiptoe into it. I know several people, from listening to the last few episodes that Sid's been on and talking about picking, several people have gone out and found stuff and kind of got into picking. So it's good to hear that we're kind of helping people out, you know, discover this treasure that's just sitting there waiting for somebody to find it around the country. So, all right, you got anything else to add? Or let's go ahead and move on.
I'm all finished.
Okay, let's go ahead and move on to the voicemail feedback. Got a couple questions today. Here's the first one.
Hey Zane, this is Andrew, and my question to you guys was, when you guys go IPing, the ones who do go IPing, do you try to get smaller items such as cards signed or 8x10s and other large photos? Thanks for that podcast. Bye.
Okay, so the obvious answer here is you want an 8x10 signed because it's a bigger, better item. Everybody wants 8x10s. The reason we do 4x6s and cards, TTM, because it's cheaper on shipping. But you may, especially for the bigger guys, I don't know if this is true, I don't IP a lot, but I'm guessing here, you may have a better chance with smaller items because people don't think you're trying to sell them. If you come with an 11x14 photo, they're more like, okay, that's going on eBay, you know. But if somebody has a little trading card or an index card, they're like, okay, maybe this guy just wants it for his collection. So there may be something to that where you have a better chance of getting a smaller item signed. But overall, I think it's consensus that we would all like the bigger item signed. Ben, you're an IPer.
You want to take this over? I can totally attest to that. That's exactly the strategy I use because I don't want people thinking I'm an eBayer pretty much.
Right.
Because I don't like that in general. And obviously, I don't like their practices.
Right.
If it's like a... I might do even oddball items like if it's a musician, you know, a CD or something like a CD booklet, you know, or something like that. But definitely smaller items to make it look like that. Or just like if you're doing bulk like I do sometimes, smaller items are obviously way easier to carry than, you know, a bunch of 8x10s and you have like a freaking giant binder with you.
Right.
And that really sucks.
You might as well have eBay written on your forehead.
Yeah,
if you have a binder.
I want to add something here. I agree with Ben. I really don't do much IPing, but I believe the smaller items, maybe 8x10s. But I know when you go in person to conventions, when you're paying for the autograph, you're going to want something bigger that you're paying for. Instead of getting like a little 4x6 or an 8x10 for, say, $25, why not get a big movie poster or some type of
memorabilia show, yeah,
to get signed. So I guess it depends what you're going to. Conventions, since you're paying for it, I'd say get the bigger items that, you know, or the oddball items, I guess you could say. And I guess IP, you know, 8x10, I'd say, is the limit for the size.
Right. I agree.
Yeah, I totally agree with Jeremy there. I think a lot of it depends on what the IP situation is. Like the conventions, I totally agree. You want bigger stuff. Most of the IP stuff I do, I mean, I've done the nationwide races, and you want stuff, especially in that environment, you want stuff that's small and real easy to get to because, I mean, a lot of times you're walking along with the drivers as they're signing. So it's just easier to have something like this last time. I think I did all 4x6s this year, and that worked pretty well because I didn't have an overabundance of them, and they were easy enough to get to, and
And I think really programs and stuff like that are multi-signed. Mike's talked about that before, how guys like Tiger Woods won't sign a picture of themselves, but if you have a program that's signed by multiple people, he'll go ahead and sign that because it's less likely you're going to sell that. It's more for your personal experience. It's connected with your event that you went to. So I think that's a big part of it, too. A lot of celebrities like multi-signed items over...
Poor Mike and Tiger Woods.
Mike would be a perfect person to answer this question.
I don't get that, man. Well, you know, okay, Tiger Woods will only sign multi-signed items. I think to someone that's actually going to sell it, that's actually going to make it worth more selling it because you got, say, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, you know, whoever else on there.
Well, not really.
Most people that want Tiger Woods just want Tiger Woods.
Well, I would say most people that want Tiger Woods want something to hang on their wall. And if it's a program multi-signed by a bunch of people, it's not going to look very good on your wall if you're not an autograph collector. If you have an office, like you're a businessman, you have an office, and you want a Tiger Woods signed photo that's going to look nice on the wall, you don't want something cluttered with a bunch of signatures. You just want Tiger Woods. So I think that that is a big part of it. We don't see that part because we see the more signatures, the better. But when you're buying as a fan of somebody, I think that comes into play where you just want that item signed by that one person. So it's a different way to look at it. All right, let's go ahead and move on to our next question, our last voicemail question.
Hey, guys. It's Alex, a.k.a. Dude Man, and here's my question for this week's show. How many autographs, or what is the most amount of autographs that you have ever gotten in one day? All
right,
thanks, guys.
Bye. Interesting question. I know I was getting literal mailbags full of mail at one time. I'm guessing one of those mail days is my biggest mail day. Or it may be. I actually got one author signed 20 items for me in one TTM. So whatever was on top of that that I got in that same day probably created my biggest mail day, to tell you the truth. But you guys got a specific mail day you can talk about?
I think mine is probably somewhere in the, as far as number-wise, is probably in the mid-20s as far as TTMs in one day.
Right. Yeah.
That was during the Fantasy League.
Yeah, the Fantasy League really drove our TTM count up. Jeremy,
I think I had maybe the most 12, 13 in one day that I can recall. There's nowhere near what you guys got, but, you know, 13 is still impressive.
Right. And you know, we're different than you guys. We always want to point that out. We're super collectors, and you do not have to be a super collector when you do TTMs. Just because we get in a ton of TTMs does not mean you need to go out and do the exact same thing. You can if you want to, by all means. If you want to and if you have the resources to, do it. But don't feel like, oh, Zane got in 10 TTMs this week, I only got in one. Don't feel bad by that. You know, people collect in different ways, so... I felt
that way the last 2 weeks watching your videos.
Well, I'm awesome. What can I say? Let's move on to the Facebook feedback, and Stacy's got those questions.
First question is coming from Rodney Gorham, who is LV Laker 2 on YouTube. He's asking us about playbills. Those of us that get those TTM and want to know how we actually store those. We may have talked about this at one time, but I figured we'd go over this again. We got new listeners and some new people on the show. So,
well, I use regular 11x8.5 protectors, and I know that's a horrible way because they flop around in the album, but I haven't invested in any Playboy. Well, I have invested in a Playboy, but I haven't invested in
by 11s.
Yeah, any Playbill specific sheet yet.
And they won't flop around.
And they flop around. My Playboys flop around everywhere. It gets crazy. But have you guys invested in anything special for your Playbills?
I just do the same thing Zane does for now. I haven't went to the lengths of... I know Neary orders specific binders, and I think for stuff, but those binders are kind of expensive, so...
Actually, they're not. I was taught. It's kind of
actually funny. You're extremely wrong.
It's funny because I was just talking to Neary about this morning. Because I'm looking at getting, because I got them in my envelope still, so I want to put them in storage. I asked him what he used, and he actually gets them through Amazon. He gets the 8.5x5.5 inch binders, which I think are $11. I guess it's pricey for a binder, but it's.
Does it come with the sheets?
Binder.
Does it come with the sheets?
No, actually the sheets you got to buy separate, and you get 50 of them for, actually I'm bringing it up right now, you get 50 of them for $15. So basically, you could get two binders and one set of sheets, which come with 50 for about the same price. You're going to buy the authentic Playbill binder and I think 15 sheets from Playbill.com. So basically, it's kind of cost effective. I mean, you get more.
Nice.
Through Amazon, but actually it's not that bad. So you basically want the 8.5 inch by 5.5 inch binder with the 8.5 inch by 5.5 inch sheet protectors. And Neri was helping with this earlier, so he sent me the links.
And we'll actually post those links on Facebook and Twitter, so you guys just click those and check them out if you're interested in a Playbill binder. All right, next question.
Next one is coming from Sammy Feynman. He's asking, more valuable piece of music memorabilia, drumhead or pick guard?
I think drumhead. I love drumheads. They just look so much better. Pick guards are nice. I almost feel like pick guards are forged a lot since they're so cheap. It's something that is kind of a throwaway thing if you mess up, so it's good for forgers, but because it's just basically a piece of plastic. But a drum head is more of an expensive item. I don't even know if you can get a signature off if you messed up on a drum head. I guess you could on a pick guard. So I would go with drum head. That's my personal opinion.
I have no opinion because...
Yeah, a lot of these guys don't collect a lot of music stuff. More entertainment and sports. So
I know the pick guards, that's like basically common for autographs is the pick guards. I see a lot more of those than I do the drum heads. So...
Yeah, so the rarer, I would say, the better, personally. So
yeah,
if you had the choice,
I'd go with
the
drumhead. My personal preference.
Drumhead is our answer. Next question.
This one also coming from Sammy Feynman. He's asking us what our first autographs were, TTM and IP.
TTM, Larry Jansen, pitched for the Mets back in the 60s, 50s, 50s, I think. First IP was Gary Guy Eddy, who played for the Cardinals at a baseball card convention. How about you?
My first TTM was either John Alt or Jonathan Hayes. They were Kansas City Chiefs back when I was in grade school that long ago. And IP was probably... It was either something at a minor league baseball game or at an Iowa basketball game. I couldn't tell you who, but...
Jeremy?
Yeah, IP, it was Jim Kelly. I met him. Actually, met him a couple times in person. Basically, Jim Kelly, if you know who he is, the former quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, Hall of Famer. And TTM, honestly, I can't even think because I... you know, when I was younger, I sent to a lot of people.
Right.
I know when I started... Back in the day, man, just some baseball players, older baseball players. I can't think of a name right now. But
my first TTM was Vanity. I had a crush on her from the movie The Last Dragon, so I had to write her a letter, and she actually sent me back a signed postcard, which was really cool.
I remember that story.
I was really a horrible kid too. I was like, oh, I love you, Vanity, I love you, and I send this letter out, and she still sent me something, so that was awesome. And my first IP was Adam West. He was really kind of a dick, though, but he ended up signing for me. He was charging like $40, and I really didn't want to pay it, but I really wanted Adam West. So
you mean
he's at a show in Orlando.
You mean Adam West?
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the next question.
This one's coming from Charles Lovell, and his is, I recently got an RTS with a note saying deceased. Have any of you guys ever sent to someone who died and you were unaware of it?
Who has already passed away, yes. I think Ben Wade, who played for the Dodgers. I was trying to get some old 1953 archive cards signed and got a letter back from it. No, I got his obituary back from his wife, so that was a little embarrassing. But that does happen. It's happening less now that Star Tiger marks people as deceased. Yeah. They used to not do that, but now they do mark people as deceased on Star Tiger. So I haven't done it in a long time, and that was before. I think it might have been during Star Archive days. But how about you guys?
I don't think I've ever done it where I've been unaware that they were dead. I mean, I've sent several out where they've died, but after I've sent the TTM.
If you get a TTM from Stacy, you're doomed.
That's the way it works.
I think my oddest one was Rod Beck, because I think I got that TTM in the mail like the same day that he died, and that was a little bizarre.
Yeah, I'm in the same category. I've wrote to people. Joe Paterno, after I wrote to him, probably a couple weeks later, he passed away. And Mel Stewart, same with him. But I've never actually got an RTS saying that, or I didn't know the person was deceased, so
right.
It hasn't happened yet. Like I said, Star Tiger's always good about updating their site with who's deceased and who's not, and I always go by that anyway. So,
Sid?
Nothing like that's ever happened to me.
All right, next question.
All right, another question from Charles Lovell. He's asking, how do you keep track of your collection? Is it just like Rain Man Recall, or do you have a some system?
Rain Man Recall. I pretty much know every item that I own. And it's creepy how I can store that much information in my head. But I'm that obsessed with autographs that I can pretty much name every item. I can name it off the top of my head if I have somebody, if I have duplicates and stuff like that. So, yeah, there's no system.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same way. Uh-huh. I mean,
bull crap. I could okay, how many times have I said, "Do you have this person's autograph?" I don't remember. I don't know.
You're so lying, Stacy. Because when I got that Carlos Santana index card off you, you're like, "Oh, do I got that?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's on your face."
Well, I mean, I know I got the stuff. I just don't know where it's at.
I disagree. But go on, Stacy. Go on and lie to us. Feed us those lies.
He was just agreeing with you, Zane. Okay.
Yeah. I agree with Zane.
But I was like probably 90 to 95% of the stuff I know that I have it. It's just whether or not I got so much crap that I don't know where half the stuff is. Where it's, I mean, I've got thousands upon thousands of index cards, and I don't exactly know where something certain is without digging through it all. But
and you know, I think that's a big key to this. I think that's the more important question is how do you keep track of your collection and how do you know where stuff is. I alphabetize everything. Even like 8x10 photos, everything's alphabetized. I'm like really weird on that, like obsessive compulsive, so I know where every single thing I own is. Stacy on the other hand doesn't.
Organized chaos.
Yeah, organized chaos.
Exactly.
Zane, you're
more than welcome to make the trip to Iowa and put all that stuff in order.
No, thank you.
If I make a trip to Iowa, some of those are coming back with me.
Yeah, yeah, maybe we're going to deal with it. My
collection at his house anyway.
Hey.
I have a spreadsheet I do, so I know who I get in and actually who I got. And that's what a website's pretty good for, so when I do get something in, I kind of scan it in, so I know I have it. But as of storing my autographs, I do put them in binders. They're not in alphabetical order because that would take forever. But
it does take forever, but it's... the little details that count.
Yeah, but I have an idea of who I got. Like I said, I could refer to my spreadsheet and type the name in, and it'll say, okay, I got this person. So just a little tracking device, which is good to have.
Right.
So you don't run into Stacy's issue. Do I have this person?
Ben?
I alphabetize everything, and then I also have like a Rain Man type thing going on too with my alphabetized. Like, oh, I know it's that section of this binder, you know, so it's kind of weird.
Hey,
I'm like OCD. Yeah.
How come your Rain Man ability doesn't work on your internet?
I don't know. Never
it's a limited power.
Yeah.
How about you, Sid?
Well, I have no idea what I have. I do store everything that's 8x10s and index cards and binders. You know, I got books on the shelf that are signed or whatever, and I got tons of boxes of books in the garage. And yeah, I know they shouldn't be in the garage, but I have nowhere else to put them. I keep track of who I send out TTM and who I get in, but that's really about it for me.
You know, I think a big part of the Rain Man feature of this is actually a question we have in our collector's poll, which we talk about on AW Extra. It's up on our website now. You can go check it out. And the question is, how often do you look at your collection? Like, surf through and see what you have. Because I think if you do that a lot, you can pretty much tell, like, somebody can name a name and you can say, yes, I got them, or no, I don't have them. But if you don't do that very often, you can easily lose track. And I'm a person who, I go in my library probably once a week and surf through stuff, open it up, check just it like, out. I just really enjoy
look
it.
Look at these books. How cool am I?
Yeah, that's right. I have a library. So I think that's a big part of the Rain Man feature. It's repetition. You know, you go in and look at stuff, appreciate it that you have it. You know, if you just throw it in a corner and forget about it, no, I don't see much use of that. You got to really go through your collection and say, oh, man, that's awesome. You know,
well,
Darth Vader signed this.
I know who I have. If somebody says a name, I know if I have it or not. But it's like if I don't look at it for a long time, then I'll just forget what I have. But if somebody says, hey, you had this, then I'll say, yeah, or no, I don't.
Right. This episode of Autograph Weekly is brought to you by Star Tiger. When it comes to collecting autographs, Star Tiger is the number one tool you need in your belt. With almost 400,000 addresses and hundreds of daily updates, Star Tiger is easily the best address source available. But it provides much more, including real-time return stats, over 400,000 autograph scans, and a great community to help you along the way. Plans start at $5 a month to $35 a year. If you sign up today, use the link startiger.autographweekly.com to help out the show. That's startiger.autographweekly.com. Now it's time for everybody's favorite segment, Just the Tip. And we're going to talk about book plates, because we get this question every week. How do you make book plates? And me and Jeremy are going to answer this. Jeremy actually posted a video on how to do this up on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/autographweekly. You can see it there, but we're going to discuss a little bit here. I can't remember where I got the book plate idea from. I didn't invent it, but I saw it in a forum, or I saw it on Star Tiger, and I started doing it a lot, and it caught on in the community, the TTM community on YouTube. And it's just grown like wildfire. It's a very cheap way to get an autograph of an author or a person that's wrote an autobiography, a celebrity that's wrote an autobiography. And all you do is go out to your local Walmart, Kmart. Do they even have Kmarts anymore? Targets. And they have these address labels you stick on shipping containers. And what you want is the 2x4 shipping label. And, you know, Jeremy actually shows you what they look like in his video. You can get different brands. I know Stacy gets a brand that you can actually, it's perforated, and you can separate them through the perforation. I think they're blank on the back, though, so that gets kind of confusing with the person signing. Sometimes they sign the back, which is not a good thing. The ones I get have writing on the back that say Ebsen, I think. And that way the celebrity knows not to sign that side. But anyways, the ones we get, me and Jeremy, you have to cut with a paper slicer. And you're like, oh, I don't want to pay for a paper slicer. They're like $11 at Walmart. They're like, you're thinking of a big old paper slicer. When somebody says paper slicer, you think of this ginormous thing. This is just a little, it's about the double width of a ruler. And they're $11 at Walmart. They work great. Cut your book plates out of the labels and then send them off. It's as simple as that. Jeremy, you got anything to add?
I just want to touch on a couple things. The kind I use, I don't know what kind you're using. I think you said Epson. They're called Avery.
What I meant, not Epson.
Okay. Yeah. And the number's 48363. It's the 2x4. There's different – it's personal preference what you want to use. There's clear labels. There's round labels, different sizes. I find that 2x4 works the best, and it's easier to cut these. I know, like Zane said, Stacy gets the ones with the perforated edges, which I think gets a Target. Is that right, Stacy?
Yep, that's correct. Yeah.
So, I mean, you can go anywhere, Home Depot, Office Max, Staples, wherever you have. Any shipping labels will work. But like I said, if you have to cut them, you're going to want to get a paper slicer, go to Walmart. They sell them there. I think they only sell one kind. It's called a Westcott, and it's like $7, $8. It's cheap, and it's good to have around just even if you're – not even using book plates, whatever. It's good to have around anyways.
Some people may not know what a book plate is. You know, we may have new listeners. A book plate is basically a sticker that you put inside of a book to create a signed copy. I don't call them signed copies because I got... Well, I make videos on YouTube, and I called a book plated book a signed copy. So I said, that's not a signed copy. That has a book plate in it. So I created my own term for it. But, you know, it creates an unsigned book into a signed book. It's very cheap to send them out TTM because you can send them out in a regular envelope instead of spending a lot on a book. Another thing I want to add that I have actually discovered over the past week, I saw a guy selling some books on eBay that had book plates in them, and he created them himself, and he actually printed a little border around the book plate and put inscribed by the author at the top. And I think I'm going to start doing that with my book plates, and it's going to look a lot classier in the book. Because the way I do it right now, I don't print anything on them. They're just blank white book plates. And that usually blends in pretty well with the book. But the book's usually a little yellow compared to the actual book plate. So I think I'm going to start doing that. I think I'm going to start printing out inscribed by the author and put a little border around
the book. Like I said, it's personal preference of what you want to do. I mean, it's always cool to add something, you know, on there. It's like I said, it's all how you want to do it. Some people like the clear book plates, and I think they look nice. I just haven't ever bought any, but I think they look nice in the book. So, I mean, your options are endless of what you want to do, size and style, and well, if you ever want to print something on those labels.
On the clear book plates, you're going to run into the glossy surface. And if you had a regular pen, like a, I don't know how well that would sign. With just a regular
The marker. I know the marker on there.
The markers and the Sharpies are going to work fine. But, yeah. So that's what you may run into on that. I think that pretty much explains everything you guys need to know. Stop sending us that question. No, you can send us the question. It's fine. But please go watch that video if you have any questions Jeremy made. It pretty much explains everything we said here. In video format, it's always good to see things done instead of listening to it through audio. That's why we do the video, just the tip segments on YouTube. I think it converts better for explaining how to do something.
All right, you have to look at me for 5 minutes.
Time for the weekly giveaway. Last show we gave away a Steve Odekirk signed 4x6, and the winner is, fake drum roll, Brandon Price. Congratulations, Brandon Price. Send us a message and we'll get that out to you ASAP. This week, what do we have up for grabs, Jeremy?
All right, this week we are giving away a 4x6 signed photo by UFC fighter John Fitch.
John Fitch signed 4x6, guys. To win that, all you have to do is go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/autographweekly, and post that keyword on our wall. You'll be automatically entered to win the John Fitch signed 4x6. Simple as that. No deaths to report this week, which is always a good thing.
That's so weird because Stacy didn't send any TTMs on.
Yeah. Zane's not, Stacy's not killing anybody with TTMs this week. So, also, guys, go check out autographweekly.com. Everything's there for your consumption. Everything Autograph Weekly related, the podcast, the polls. Again, it's autographweekly.com. Also, guys, we are starting a podcast network. Still looking for people who collect anything. We want them to host their own podcast. So if you are interested, if you collected a certain item, whether it be stamps or anything over the years, you're pretty knowledgeable about it and you've got a decent radio voice, we'd like to talk to you about hosting your own podcast. Just email me, zane@zanesavage.com. Rightastar is my personal private address website. That's rightastar.com. Go check that out. Identify your autographs on Facebook. We've had several people submit autographs recently, and I've figured out most of them. So if you have an autograph in your collection, you don't know who it is, go to identifyyourautographs.com, post the picture of your autograph, and we'll try to figure it out for you. And
check out stacyschaefer.com and also the official fan page on Facebook, That Autograph Dude. I am doing a weekly giveaway on there as well, so...
All right, and also check out theautographboss.com with the new Hit the Deck project that me, Zane, and Stacy are doing. I will be posting daily updates on my website for that, and as well as my daily TTM updates I do post on there. I'm going to start kind of consolidating my website because I have a lot of content on there, so a lot of stuff will be coming off just to make it more user-friendly, I guess you could say, to navigate through. So just check out theautographboss.com. Check out my YouTube, BossHog797. And what about you, Ben?
My actual website, bmartsautographs.weebly.com. I'm starting up the blog this week. I actually had it delayed from last week. But just about everything autographs, my Twitter, bmarts702. And then my YouTube, I now changed it from AnimeDVD78 to Ben Martinez. You can actually link your Google Plus to your YouTube and change your name if you want. So I did that, and go check it out. And what about you, Sid?
Website, www.sidsautographs.webs.com. Check it out.
Cool. Check us out on Twitter at twitter.com/autographweekly. We're adding more stuff on there every week. I try to update you guys as much as possible on what's going on, give you a heads up when we're streaming live, stuff like that. So again, that's twitter.com/autographweekly and facebook.com/autographweekly. Approaching 900 fans on there, so if you can, go like us on Facebook. And for the love of God, go to iTunes and comment, rate, and subscribe. And the photo problem is still not fixed in the iTunes store, but if you go ahead and subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, the icon will pop up in your iTunes. It's just in the store, the icon is not there, so hopefully that gets fixed soon. All right, guys, I'm Zane Savage.
And I'm Stacy Schaefer. Stay classy, San Diego.
And you take care, all of you autograph addicts.
Thank you for listening to Autograph Weekly. Visit autographweekly.com for news, tips, and contact information.